Are you ready for 100 degree weather next week? Boy, I read that, 100 degree weather. But at least it's not going to be 117 like it's going to be in Phoenix, or 120 like it'll be in Lake Havasu. I know you don't live there anymore, Dirks, but it's going to be about 120 there next week. It's good to be here in Chino Valley tonight. Amen. Love what Pastor Lee started out all those many years. Remember he said, Chino Valley, a town called blessed. Amen. It's not a stepchild to Prescott or Prescott Valley. Amen. The Quad Cities, I think they're all beautiful areas in their own way, right? But we're glad and blessed to be here in Chino Valley tonight, right, Bob Reed? He doesn't live here, but he's glad to be here. Session 19, Romans. Amen. You know, something about when you read his promises together as a body and reminding ourselves of our benefits in him, amen? Because the enemy works hard that we would forget about his benefits and that we would have our eye on our struggle, have our eye on what's going on around us or what's going on in the world. Wouldn't you say that, agree with that? But when we get together and read his word together, simply reminding ourselves of his benefits, they belong to us. There are promises, and it says in 2 Corinthians that the promises of God are yes and amen. So they either are real or they're not. They're either fictitious or they're actual truths and a part of our lives. And many of you have seen God work over and over and over and over again in our lives. And so knowing that as the enemy tries to come against us, we can stand firm in him and see the victory. Not giving up, not giving in. And I'm telling you, I'm preaching to myself tonight in Jesus' name for all of us. So we're going to start where we left off and for at least where I left off. Did Sally, I heard Sally did a good job last week. Yeah. Were any of you, anybody else here last week? Okay, we're going to start off in Romans 11, 25 through 36 in the New American Standard Bible. And by the way, I use the new, nothing wrong with the King James. I think the King James is great, but as I've studied and went through things and studying what's good translations are, I just come to realize that I love the New American Standard Bible. I'll still look at King James. I'll look at five or six different translations and paraphrases, but as far as what we know today compared to 1611, did you know that it's actually more accurate, New American Standard Bible? Yeah. Newer transcripts that they pull from. We know a lot more about translating from Greek and Hebrew into English and other language by far than what we knew in 1611, so 400 years ago. So that's just me. Nothing wrong with the King James at all. But as far as preaching and teaching, and it ruffles a little feather sometimes, I don't mind that. I don't mind that, to be honest. What really matters is God's changing our lives, the Word of God becoming real to us. Amen. Amen. Romans 11, 25 through 36, for I do not want you, brothers and sisters, as Paul's talking to the Romans here, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation. A partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. You know, there's still coming a great day, a great harvest for the nation of Israel, for Jewish people. And I think some weeks back I had mentioned that if you go to Israel, to the country of Israel right now, it's like 2% of the population is born again, and 60% of those are in a Catholic church. But there's a day coming. We don't know when, but there's a great day coming of a great harvest for the people of Israel. Do you believe that? We keep praying for them. God, even in their rebellion, where they're at, isn't God been merciful and gracious to Israel? Now, they've had a lot of tragic, a lot of heartache, but to be honest, it's an absolute miracle that we even have Israel on the map today. There's an appointed time. There's an appointed place where Israel's going to come back to the Lord, just like there was an appointed time and place where you gave your life to Jesus Christ. So it will be with the people in Israel, amen? They will join the church, become a church with us, believing as Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But Paul starts out here, he gives a little bit of a warning. He says, you will not be wise in your own estimation. Or he says about so that you won't be wise in our own estimation. It's interesting in this world, when I say you will not be wise in your own estimation, it wasn't anything on our part that God said, I choose you. And believe me, he doesn't want anybody to repent, but at the same time, he has chosen you and I. He knows those that are going to come to him. It says that he chose us before the foundation of the earth to walk in those things and abilities and giftings that he's given each one of us, amen? Each one of us, you and I, things God's placed within our lives, and he knew us before the foundation of the world. It's amazing. When we realize that, we realize, hey, the battle belongs to the Lord. Nothing the enemy can do to me can take me out of his hands. I might have struggles. There might be times where things like I'm saying, Lord, how am I going to hang on? Or what is going on in our lives? But knowing that he's chosen us before the foundation of the world gives us a reason to say, I'm going to stay established in you. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I'm not turning to the left. I'm not going to the right. I might be a knucklehead. I might be struggling. But I'm firmly established in you because you knew me before the foundations of the earth. Hallelujah. Unmovable, unshakable when we realize that. Sometimes as human beings, we say, Lord, when is the struggles going to stop? When you draw your last breath. Lord, when is everything going to line up and be perfect? When you draw your last breath. But what can be established, what can be perfect, what can be firm, what can be lead you all the way to that last breath is you being in your face saying, God, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not moving anywhere. Doesn't matter what's going on. I know you're going to bring me the victory. I know you're bringing me out of this struggle. I know that the things that I'm struggling with now or the things that are happening are only temporal. Father God, you're bringing me out of those into your marvelous victory. Amen? Amen. That kind of attitude, there's nothing the devil can do. He can bring whatever he wants against you. But you know, when he brings things against you, There's a catch-22 because that means God's going to bring a great victory. That means they're going to be a whipping, can I say it that way, on behalf of the enemy, on the enemy side. When the enemy brings attacks against us, that means we're going to get through them. God's going to release more revelation in our lives. God's going to establish us firmer in him. We're going to be more comfortable in his presence and in his place and his heart. That means we're going to have a heart that is established in him. So when the enemy brings things against us, there's a thing, though. He knows that if this person doesn't give up, great things are going to happen. That's the way it works. If he can get us to give up, does God still love us? Absolutely. Are we still born again? Yes. Do we get to go around the mountain again? Yes. He'll keep coming around the mountain. How many of you have been around the mountain a few times? Wave as you go by, I'll be back. And then one time, you're not back. You get off that track. God gives you the victory. He didn't give up on you. He didn't give in. And next thing you know, they're saying, where'd that train go? No, it's on a new path now. It's on to new things and bigger things. Amen. The word I was looking for is when we come out of those things that we're struggling with and we don't give up and don't give in, increases our confidence. And so regardless if you're going around the mountain again, like many of us has on just life, one of these times, off that track. No more. New tracks. Blazing a new trail. And I love that it's just normal. Doing some of these things that we deal with in our life, coming around those tracks again. Come on. It's just normal. The enemy will tell you, no, you're not normal. That shouldn't be that way. Everybody else doesn't do that. Pastor Chad, he doesn't do that. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, Pastor Chad does that. Certain things in our life that we can keep looping and struggling with, and it seems like we never grow past it. telling you, when we don't give up, God's going to break that and hop that track. New revelation, new growth, new strength, new vision in our life. A fresh understanding of purpose. A fresh understanding of purpose is as we grow in Him. And He's so patient. The big thing is, as we're growing, are we being patient? The only one that's not patient is the enemy that would push you. The enemy that would want you to give up or give in or want to tell you that, man, God is patient, has grown thin with your struggle, with what's going on in your life. And I'm telling you, that is an absolute lie. Aren't you glad about that? One of those days, that record of coming around the mountain when it comes is going to not be applicable in that area. We move on in growth, and we face other things. It's just the way it is. The flesh says, when's this finally going to be over? Total rest and peace. Well, we have His inner peace and rest, but we have those things that buffet against us. Amen? Even Paul, when he was in a struggle, said, man, we had the sentence of death within us. But he said it taught us not to rely on our own strength. So we thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us not to rely on your own strength. Father God, we pray that the United States would not rely on our own strength. That's what America needs. We cannot rely on our own strength. I don't care how big the army is. Who gave that army to us? Jesus, God. Who made this country great? Was it not Jesus and God? Amen. Father, may this country again not rely on her own strength, but continue to come to you, Jesus. His church, the church of Jesus Christ, would not rely on their own strength, but upon you. The world doesn't like it. Our flesh doesn't like it. Something about that humility and relying on you, we just don't like it. But Father, it's necessary for it to grow in your strength, to grow in your revelation, to grow in your purpose, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good stuff, Lord, that you're revealing to us. You know, the world, when we talk about being wise in our own estimation and being all that, and what we want to be, mean and confident in ourselves. But it can be difficult, but it's opposite in the world, right? What do you mean? An employer will say, you're good enough, I'll take you, right? You'll get certain SAT scores in a college, and they say, you're good enough, I'll take you, right? You can be playing in sports, and they'll say, you know, the captain of the team says, you're good enough, I want to pick you, I want to take you. But with God, much of the time, it's opposite of that, as He pulls people that would maybe be rejects in certain areas of society. He doesn't look at you and say, hey, you measured up, so I'll take you. Your SAT scores in the Bible were high enough, I'll take you. Often what God does with us and the people He chooses and the people He works in, opposite of what the world would say, I'll choose you. So God takes those that the world does not want, and He'll say, I choose you to confound the wise. Amen? So understanding that we live in a world that says, I want you, I don't want you. I choose you, I reject you. But with God, it's never I reject you, but He's I choose you. Aren't you glad He's chosen you? Thank you, Lord, He's chosen me. Doesn't matter what we're facing right now. He has chosen you. Doesn't matter in the past who's rejected you. Did you hear me? Doesn't matter who in the past has rejected you. God, your Father, has said, I choose you. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for choosing us. As believers, we believe all that is good in our lives came from God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4:7, Bill. For who considers you as superior? This is Paul. He's talking to some people. The Corinthians, remember, they loved wisdom. They loved being smart. They loved their wisdom. They loved their wealth. They loved being of esteem in the Corinthians. So this is, Paul says, for who considers you as superior? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did not receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? So everything He's given, the giftings, the abilities, the strengths, everything as a believer, we say, Lord, we know that came from you. We understand that you made us. We understand that you made these worlds, Father God, by your word. We understand that your word is perfect. We understand that in your word is life. We believe that Jesus became the word. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. So it's easy for you and I to say, Lord, everything I have, every ability, every talent, everything I have came from you. Amen. Lord loves that attitude. The world says, I did it myself. I did it my way. Well, I'm sorry. I don't want, that's not in my vocabulary. I've learned when you're younger, you want to do it your way. You know everything. As you become more mature, isn't it? Don't you realize how little you know? And I'm finding myself to be willing to listen to other people's. As we grow in Him, we become more confident. We don't have to walk in that pride that we know everything. Willing to learn. Everything we have, Paul was saying right here, came from Him. I love Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Can we go there? Jeremiah. Do you have that? Bill, I'm just going to read it from up here. Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boast of this, that he understands and knows me. That I am the Lord who exercise loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Boasting in him. Father, thank you for giving us hearts that boast in you. Boast to you and you to you, people that are around. Just realizing that everything we have, Lord, you want to bless us. You do bless us. But just remembering, Lord, we boast in you because everything we have comes from you. Hallelujah. People said you can't use the Lord as a crutch. Well, if I got to be in a wheelchair for God, when I say I'm talking about in a spiritual sense, saying, Lord, I'm two crutches. Lord, you're our breath. You're the one that says your mercies are new every morning. You're our strength, you're our ability. You lead the way. You guide us. Amen. Boasting on him. Not boasting on those other things. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember about all this, the simplicity of the gospel. This is Paul talking to Timothy. He says, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. It's amazing how simple the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Amen? The simplicity of the gospel is what opens every door of avenue of blessing of God into our lives. The very simplicity. We can learn and grow in him, but it never gets off that foundation. Never gets off that foundation that I am simply and 100% made whole through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ my Lord. Amen. When I preached a couple weeks ago, we talked about the simplicity of the gospel is everything we need in our lives as far as healing, physically, emotional, mental. Everything we need is found in the simplicity of the gospel. There's no other thing. There's no other options. There's no other door that opens into something bigger and better. Where Jesus, he's the door into something bigger. No, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. He says, I am the door. Amen. The door into him brings us into everything we need in him. We talked about in Psalms 23 that he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He rubs the enemy's nose into it. You know when you have a dog and a puppy and it might pee or poop and he might rub its nose in there? I get that picture of the devil. A table in the presence of our enemies, and God, as he's doing things in our lives, rubbing the enemy's nose into it, saying, look what I'm doing in that person's life. Look what I've done in their lives. Look that they didn't give up. Look, I don't care about their past. Look what I've done in their lives. God loves displaying what he's done in people's lives, not only for people to see, but the enemy to see it. And there's nothing the enemy can do about it, amen? Except run his mouth and lie and try to get us to believe those things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So that you will not be wise in your own estimation. Thank you, Father, for reminding of us that tonight. Sometimes we can, when things are going on, we just try to say, Lord, I need to figure this out. We try to negotiate with our mental faculties, with our emotions, amen? Struggling to keep them in check as we work through things in life, but stopping and saying, Lord, so that I won't be wise in my own estimation, Lord, don't let me do that. Let me give that over to you, casting all my cares upon him. He cares for me. Lord, that I wouldn't try to negotiate with my mental faculties, with my emotions, amen, turning them over to him to walk in his peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 11:13, Bill. What Paul here speaking to his young protege, Timothy again. 2 Timothy 2:11-13. The statement is trustworthy. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Hallelujah. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Did you hear that? If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Let me just go back a little bit to that deny, if we deny him. There's been times in my life where I've walked away from the Lord as a young man, that I had denied him. But you know, it was out of a heart that I didn't know him at all. I didn't understand his grace and his mercy. I was trying to have a checklist of things to do and don't do. So I would just to push away. We don't know who will deny him or when that point has. Because I've seen a lot of people that lived a life of running from God, trying to deny him, trying to get away from him, but the hound, that Holy Ghost hound, kept on them and brought him back. And they'll tell you, yeah, I still believed him. I still knew in my heart it was real, but I was running from him. I didn't think I could measure up. I didn't think he would accept me. I didn't think, or I thought some crazy things. He was going to make me a missionary in somewhere in this location. So if we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. We don't know what that means for certain people. We can't judge people. We just preach his goodness. Come back. Those who are backsliding, come back. Some do, some don't. That's the truth of it. But we also, in that verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that he remains faithful? If you have a bad day, he remains faithful. I said, if you have a bad week, he remains faithful. If you have... He remains faithful. Calling people back home. Amen. Trusting him so that you and I will not be wise. Thank you, Father. You know that scripture from James 1:16-18? James 1:16-18. Do not be deceived. My beloved brothers and sisters, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, hallelujah, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadows. He is consistent and constant. Amen. Verse 18, in the exercise of his will, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would be a kind of first fruits among his creatures. We know that Jesus is firstborn among many brethren, amen, being born, dying on the cross, death, burial, and resurrection, because of that bringing a slew of people, brothers and sisters in Christ, building the church, amen, but just saying, do not be deceived, every good and perfect gift comes down from above, amen. So that means there's an opportunity to be deceived about what we've received, what God has done in our lives, or to forget what he's done in our lives. Every good and perfect gift. How about you? Are you still open to receiving more good, perfect gifts from him? Amen. Regardless of your struggle right now. Amen. I don't know about you, but the most important thing I think for us religious folk, if I could say that, is to be good receivers. Amen. God wants good receivers of his goodness, of his forgiveness. It says his mercies are new every morning. think I'd mentioned it was years ago where I was having a struggle in my life, and I woke up, heard in my heart, these are every morning. Struggling. Wrong teaching, wrong beliefs, or pride, whatever it is, can be pride. But I'm here to tell you that those mercies are new every morning. Every good and perfect gift comes down from Him, from salvation to provision to healing, wholeness to deliverance. Those are good and perfect gifts, and you have to receive them. Amen. It says you have not because you ask not. And people that become good receivers also become good givers. My grandfather used to have a saying, said it's hard to give out of an empty wagon. We can't have an empty wagon. Thank you, Lord, for the fullness that's in us to give out to others. Amen? Of our time, of our graciousness, of a prayer, of faith, of our finances, in Jesus' name. So we thank you, Father, every good and perfect, everything, so that you and I would not be wise in our own estimation. Amen? Amen. God gives grace to the humble. You think of that. God gives grace to the humble, but opposes the proud. What's the proud do? The proud says, I don't need to receive anything. Are you kidding me? Amen. I couldn't do it on my own. But it's that humble says, Lord, thank you. Want your blessing. Want your blessing. I say, Lord Jesus, I want your blessing. I want your strength. Lord, I thank you for that I can receive that. But it's only by the humble that says, Lord, I'm more than glad to say, Lord, whatever you want to give me. Lord, I'm more than glad to tell the world that I'm everything that you're doing in my life is because of you. To some it'll drive them away. To others, it'll draw them like a moth to a flame. We thank you, Father. Verse 28, Bill. Amen. Going back into Romans 11, verse 28, from the standpoint of the gospel, they, being the Jews, are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. Isn't that amazing? God's love for the Jews during that time, but they were an enemy of the gospel. Contrary to what we would think. We've talked about this many times, about loving enemies. Or Paul saying that I would trade my soul that my brethren would come to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The ones that were trying to kill him. The ones that were putting him in prison. Those are the ones he said, trade places for with them that they might know you. So in relation to the gospel they are in, they were opposed to the gospel. But in God's choice and purpose that we'd mentioned before, that someday Jewish nation coming to Jesus by the masses. We don't know when, right? It's been a long time. 2,000 years. In Israel, still looking for the Messiah, or don't believe in God altogether. But nevertheless, they are chosen in God. He's going to do a mighty work in them, just like you and I being chosen. Amen. Join heirs. Verse 29, this is a wonderful verse for the gifts. We talked about gifts, and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just think of that. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable, still placed on our life, regardless of where we're at. I think of many people who later on in life did mighty, powerful things in their life. I remember a guy named Mo who, as he was growing up, he became very wealthy. His wife, his mother was a strong believer in Jesus. He would keep declaring to him about the gospel. And he said, Mom, I don't know that. That was kid stuff. I moved on from that. So he was in his 50s or 60s, and events where things happened. He lost everything. And through those events, he gave his life to Christ. I don't know if God ever restored his monies, but he didn't care. He was at a time, he says, man, my mother couldn't see what God is doing in my life now. Where he devoted his life at that time to helping those. Amazing man. The his testimony where his mom never saw it. See, the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. They were still there on his life. They hadn't gone away. They hadn't lessened. Nothing changed. It was just his time. It was for him. God knows time. So when that came about where he gave his life to Christ, amen. There's many out there right now that we come across that. There's an appointed day and time, some of these people, where they're going to come to the gospel. They're going to give their lives to Jesus. Many times they're going to say, no, 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 yes. Amen? People we know, might be family members, people we're around. No, 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 yes. The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Father, as we press into you, I say press into you not to get his favor, but because we have him. He's got a supply for us, Lord. Let us turn that hose on. Let nothing get in the way of continuing to turn that hose of his favor, his spirit, his moving through us. Amen. The gift and the callings of God are irrevocable. There's gifts and callings here. There's things that are coming forth in people's lives. God knows the time. He's preparing us. There may be times where you're asking for doors to be open. It seems like, no, no, no. We thank you for that, Father. During those times where it seems like we're hearing no, Father, let us not become discouraged. You think of Joseph who was in jail. He had these dreams of being used mightily of God, and all of a sudden he finds himself in jail or prison. It seemed like, no, no. No, no, no. And even having a dream, and I think it was the baker. Was it the baker? There was a baker and a candlestick maker. Was it that what it is? No. It was a baker. It was a baker and a cupbearer. And he had a dream for both of them. And one of them, was it the cupbearer that died? No, or was the baker died? But anyway, to me, he said, Joseph saying, when you get out, remember me. And he forgot all about him. So it seemed like it was no, and then all of a sudden at the right time where Pharaoh had a dream, it bothered him. He said, man, somebody could interpret the dream for me. That time of Hebrew. He interpreted the dream I had. God's timing brought from the prison to the palace. We have no idea what God is what desires to do or will do in our life. We'll just say, Lord, help us to stay firm in you, established in our faith in you. It seems like we hear no. We thank you, Father, for the yeses in our life. Father God, we thank you for the yeses in our life. We thank you for dreams and things being purpose. I've said it many times. Places where addicted are being, you know, that are being housed, struggling, if they could get a hold of purpose. Okay. You're trying to just quit something without really nothing to go to that's eternal purpose. It doesn't work out. But when you see the eternal purpose, then you say, I'm willing to give up that for the eternal purpose, for the things before this. We thank you for fresh dreams and visions coming, becoming open in our lives, Father, becoming us being spiritually aware of them, afresh and anew in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for us looking for the path. We can live life and just get, you know, live day to day. Look at your checking account. Go to work. Come home. Look at your checking account. Go to work. Come, go to the grocery store. Come home and look at your checking account. Father, may we not get stuck in the mundane of life. Those things that are important, I understand. But Lord, may our dreams, our vision, and purpose go beyond all those things that would keep us in the mundane. Amen? As we stir ourselves up from the yes to those things we hear, or the no, and to those things we hear the yes. We thank you for that. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord. So that you and I would not be wise in our own estimation. Isn't it wonderful to take off a heavy coat that's wet, trying to be wise in our own estimation, trying to prove ourselves? And Lord, taking that cloak off and saying, Lord, putting on that cloak of humility. Lord, you're my strength. fresh garment. It's light. It's invigorating. It'll strengthen us. Can we stand real quick as we get ready to dismiss? Father, we thank you in here. Maybe you need to just say in your own heart or soul, hey, Father, I'm ready for some yeses. Yeah, I'm ready for some yeses, Lord. Lord Jesus, I'm ready for some yeses. In my heart, sometimes we keep hearing those things, but Lord, I thank you for the yeses that are coming. How do I know? Because your word, it gives so many examples. They come for all our lives in different ways. You know, my calling, your calling, everybody's purposes are different. That's called the body of Christ. But I'm telling you right now, as we stand firm on things that would seem to be closed or shut or our opposition, if we'll stay firm, at some point God will start opening things, and we don't know what those things are even are, but he does. My ways are higher than your ways, he says. It's amazing that as we believe that, we have no idea what can happen. And so, Father, we thank you that as we receive of that tonight, your people, that we can be, in turn, givers of that purpose. In Jesus' name, Father, we declare that over our lives. We declare that over our church. We declare that over our community. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And we thank you. We love you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Woo-hoo.